Hello, this is Pastor John in Los Angeles, California. Thank you for joining me for another impromptu webcast. Just want to play a few bars from this album, Advice, Mechanism 48, The Bigger Picture.
Ever since the dog started talking about God, the wizard waved his wand, trying to tear his life apart. A pocket full of stones wasn't stone, what I heard. And people got some theories about the drop out of the nerve. And since we are reflections of the company we keep, they boss and miss connections to that heathenistic sheep. Partner, I'm protected, you can try to cover lyrics. I know that you're infected with them evil pagan spirits. I ain't playing games, I'm a servant of the Lord, the one true creator and advisor in the court. I be kicking in your doors, shooting up your Ouija boards. Cases hit the floors as I yield the father's sword. Take your eyes out the pyramid and look at who's in charge. Creator is the general, so you can call me Sarge. Mounting up my soldiers like I'm based in Fort Bragg, and we lacing up my boots and putting on our dog tags.
Now, you know, you folk out there may be saying, my goodness, who is that and what is this? And what is this deception all about? Who's being deceived? Well, I'll tell you right now, your children are. Your children are being deceived through the media, through the music that they're listening to in their iPads, iPods, headphones, and all of the rest. And I have as a guest, he's in Houston, and I'm in Los Angeles, and his name is Dante Reed. He has an album called Advice. I've been featuring this album, and I want you to really think about getting this music and putting it in your collection. You know, I called Dante and I want him to have a few words with me today, so I'm going to fade out all the music here and so that I can have a one-on-one conversation with him. Dante, thank you for accepting my invitation.
Absolutely. I'm honored.
Well, listen, I'm honored. I'm telling you, I love this album. I think the best cut on here, you know, I really like The Blame Game. Because everybody's blaming everybody else for their own sin. This is a great album, Dante. Well, Dante, what have you been doing lately? And why don't you share with the people what the Lord has placed upon your heart here lately?
Well, lately I've just been kind of getting into the Word and studying and preparing for where the Lord is going to place me.
Okay.
Getting all my knowledge together. I did an interview recently with the Houston Press out here in Houston. And I think that was, I know that was God speaking to me, letting me know that this is the type of resistance that I'm going to come up against because of what I'm doing. So it was a sign to me to continue to study the Word and build up my knowledge and my wisdom and my understanding, but also to go deeper into it.
Yes.
As it relates to what my charge is or what my task is.
Wow. You know, that's wonderful, Dante, because, you know, most of the time Christians are silent whenever they come into contact with the secular media or whenever they come into contact with someone that doesn't agree with their faith. How is the album doing now? Are Christians really catching on? I mean, the serious Christians. This is a very unique album, and I did pay attention to the interview that you did with the newspaper, and they were very shallow in addressing the real issue of your boldness in Christ. What do we do to get these young people to become bold in their faith, Dante? Because I'm having a terrible time. Well, I think it's a two-pronged question. How do we get the younger Christian to become bold in their faith? And the second aspect of that question is, what are we as Christians coming up against, especially, you know, in terms of this number deception, what are we coming up against that is getting in the way of us being as bold as we ought to?
Well, I'll answer the second question first.
Okay.
And take a little page from our politicians.
Okay.
I'll answer the second question first, because what's happening is this is and it relates to when you asked earlier before the two questions that you asked. It relates to how the album is doing.
Yes.
The album is slowly becoming something huge, and And I think this is in God's time. It's not my time, because it's not about money.
Yes.
It's about delivering a message and continuing to deliver a message. And the Bible says that money is a tool that should be used in the workings of spreading God's word, not to be worshipped or praised or abused. And so the album is slowly growing. It's slowly, everyone who listens to it buys it. It's available on iTunes and Amazon and all the media outlets, so you can get it anywhere.
Okay.
But that's not what it's about.
Right.
What it's about is getting in front of people and basically making sure that they understand what's being said. The opposition that we're facing is the very reason why, from a worldly perspective, that the album is not all over BET or all over VH1 or MTV. It's because it's not made to be all over BET, VH1, and MTV.
Okay.
It's designed to be in your face, to where, okay, be where there are no distractions, where you can specifically focus on that particular album and the content of it and get the message from it without being distracted by the ones who don't want you to get the message.
Yes.
Now, the reason why, again, it's not everywhere is because we're not conforming to we're not stepping in fashion. We're not jumping in line with some of these other gospel, like some of these other gospel artists have done.
Yes.
They may have came in with the right intentions,
yes,
but they decided that they were going to deviate because career starts slipping, albums wasn't selling. Or whatever the reason was. It wasn't getting the notoriety that they thought they should get. As a gospel music industry as a whole was not getting the notoriety. So what they had to do was compromise. And what a lot of people are doing now, they are compromising their integrity and morality. I have made it plain on many different opportunities and many different formats that I'm not going to compromise. I've also said it in my music. It's not going to happen. And if that means that worldly, I'll never be rich, that's fine, because I'm already wealthy in Christ.
Oh, boy, that's one.
I'm already past that reaching that complete wealth and satisfaction and happiness level.
Man, I've never heard a Christian artist, if you want to call him that, Dante, I've never heard a Christian artist on any interview make a statement like that. They don't even talk about that, because it's about making money. It's about being famous. It's about having that name. It's about making the big venues. It's about impressing the worldly type of Christian. So what you're saying is that there is a vast difference, because you see, I love the music. I've always loved this kind of music from our community, because it's sending a message to the young people that's in our community. But, and so you're not looking for the money and the fame. You're looking to make an impact, to get into the consciousness of the younger generation. Would I be right in saying that?
You would be absolutely correct in that. What I'm doing is basically, this is like the pre-stages of a battle that's inevitable.
I love it.
It's going to happen regardless.
Yeah.
What I'm doing is I'm reaching out to people who don't understand, because they don't know, and they don't have the opportunity to find out, because they're so cluttered and so saturated with all of this nonsense that's out here. A lot of these people that have made that a lot of gospel artists have made that transition, and it's evident that they made the transition. Now, I'm not a judge. I'm not trying to judge anybody. But the Bible says we are able to judge people's sin, and I'm judging your sin. I'm convicting you, because whatever you're doing is not of God. You can dress it up with God. You can get on BET gospel and all that other stuff and say, okay, yeah, this is of God, and have choirs behind you and all of that. But the true measure of a man of faith is what he does when the cameras are off.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love that.
Go home and does he practice what he preached?
Yeah.
Does he go home and does he study scripture? Or does he just give me songs that tell me, Jesus loved me, Jesus this, Jesus that, Jesus that? But where's the knowledge at? Where's the guidance at? Yeah. And our generation has grown accustomed to seeing these men and these women live lavish lives. Basically, be the flip side of the hip-hop industry, or be the flip side of the R&B industry. And what they're doing is they're taking these lavish lives, and the only thing that's separating them from being those hip-hop artists that are preaching that negativity, or those R&B artists that are constantly talking about sex, is the fact that they cloak it with the Word of God. And they don't even cloak it with the Word of God. They cloak it with just basic words or trigger words that attack the mind, and the person that's suffering reaches out to that gospel singer, and pretty soon they're flocking to these shows to see this gospel singer talk about how God has changed their lives and how God can change his life, but not teaching them anything.
Man, you know what, Dante, you make me think about, I think it was about a year ago, a couple of sisters from the community, I think they went down here to West Angeles Church of God in Christ, or Blake may be their pastor, I think their name was Mary, and they had a particular gospel album where they were being very braggadocious about the things that they have, the fame that they have, that God gave them that, and that the person listening to the music could have what they had, and it started kind of a ruckus because some of the true biblical people were saying we're not supposed to be running after that. But it appears that when you listen to the Kirk Franklins, to the Mary, and the other individuals like that, man, I don't know their names because I have old gospel music, not the newer stuff, but. And all right, so you're already fighting a battle, and I like the battle that you're in because that's the same battle that I'm engaged in. When the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Would you say that the majority of the gospel community in African-American gospel music, would you say that these individuals, through their music and through their lifestyles and through what they're recording and putting out there, are these sacrificial people that are giving the right antidote for spiritual recovery? Now, this is just one artist's opinion as you listen to the gamut of music out there. What do you say about that? Well, if you can give me a percentage.
I don't know what their intentions are.
Okay.
They may have positive intentions because I don't know any of them. I just know what they display to the world.
Yeah, okay.
And one of the things that you mentioned, Romans 12, but did you stop at right before verse 2, where it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Right, right,
then
right.
Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Yes, yes.
I think, to answer your question, is I think that some of the brothers and sisters are reading up the verse 2 and not reading verse 2.
Okay. And so you're saying that in the field, because I recall once there's one gospel artist and he's a young man, kind of a fair complexion guy, wore a nice close covadis, and I need you now, Lord. What was his name? Very recent in the gospel. His name just escaped my mind. But I recall that it was one of the hottest gospel albums that came out, and they asked him to sing on one of the award shows, and I think it was one of the major award shows, and he had won the best gospel album, Smokey Norfield. That's his name, Smokey Norfield. And when I heard his first album, one of the members of my home fellowship gave me the album. They said, PJ, you'd like this album because you like good music. And it was an excellent album. And when he first did his first interview, he was humble. He was speaking like he was a Christian. And now you never know it. What happens? What happens when the money comes in to their lives like that?
Well, it's interesting because it's a pattern. And you notice it, it's not only gospel artists. It's most people in entertainment.
Okay.
And if you notice that a lot of people, what happens is, or what's been known to happen, is they're presented with an opportunity to be a part of something. And whether you, how it happens is if you're presented with that opportunity to be part of something, you have a choice. You can either say yes or say no. And if you deny that opportunity, then your career is gone.
Oh my goodness.
So if you accept that opportunity.
Okay.
If you accept that opportunity, then they not only enhance your career, but they provide you with the environment, the tools, the media, the support system, and everything. But then there's a catch. You have to push a certain message. And that message, at the end of the day, evolves around materialism.
Wow. And that's and it. It is impossible.
Materialism aspect of the game is what keeps the mind clouded so that they don't seek God. So they don't seek redemption. So they don't seek repentance because they're too busy concerned about the worldly aspects of life and not the spiritual aspect of life.
Now, not only in the singing field, but this is also translated into the church field because the pastors are preaching this same materialistic message. So if the pastors are preaching that message, church people are believing that message, then the entertainers that's going to the church is preaching that message. Dante, within 10 to 20 years, the true message of Christianity is null and void. It's gone because you have the majority of church people, of so-called professing Christians, looking at materialism as the way to go. And so what you've done is you've polluted what the whole faith means. That is possibly why, Dante, people like you and I are looked at as irregular, or that there's something wrong with us. Because what is it? Because we won't jump on board? Is that it?
Well, yeah, that's what it is. And then a lot of it is because we won't conform to the pattern of this world.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what it is. It's not that we feel like we're better than anybody, because I've heard a lot of the opposition when I've gotten into debates about this particular subject would say, well, I'm so tired of people that think they know God, that know God or say they have a relationship with God, thinking they're better than the next man. No. But here's the thing. If you don't have a relationship with God, and you have a relationship with someone else who lost in the beginning, who continues to lose and continues to take orders from God.
Yes.
See, people don't understand that what they're worshiping has power. True that. Has power, no doubt about it. Okay?
Right.
It has
right.
power to give you things and give you whatever you want.
Right, right.
But, like in Job, when the devil wanted to go at Job, he didn't just go at Job. The Bible says, God said, have you considered my servant Job?
Yes. Yes.
So that means that you had to get permission from God at the end of the day to do what you wanted to do. This was all part of God's plan, which is why it's so crazy, and I don't understand why people can't get a grasp on the fact that the creator of everything, whether they are aliens or whatever, it had to be created by one creator.
Because they do not believe.
He left us with text. He left us with scripture. He left us with stuff, enough information to get the full grasp of who he is, what he is, and what we need to do to stay close to him.
Yeah. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that's where I'm going next. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'd like to start at verse 3. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. It says, and even if our gospel is veiled, in the King James it reads hidden. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing.
Perishing.
And so there are two kinds of people that read the Bible. people that are perishing and people that have eternal life. And then the next verse says, in whose case, because this is how powerful Satan is, and this is where I want to go in part two of this interview with you, because I believe that this God of the world is the entity that has taken over in our churches, in whose case the God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And so it appears, Dante, it appears that most of these individuals are blinded, and blinded because of their refusal to listen to the message that can bring redemption. And of course, the message that brings redemption is a message of repentance, of repentance. Would you say that our young people are easily today, more easily led into the things of Satan as opposed to the things of God? And what are the instruments used to draw these young people away from God and to the enemy?
I'm sorry, I meant to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
One of the instruments used is money. That is the main overall instrument.
Is it because the economy is shot, that the young people don't have much money? What do you mean? I remember when I was a young man, I never had a lot of money, but I wasn't lured to evil because of money. I knew that I had to get up and get a job.
Here's the thing.
What?
As far as rap music is concerned.
Okay.
There hasn't been an artist that came with a message close to anything that I'm talking about or my cohorts are talking about, and been able to stand on the fact that, hey, I can show you that you can be just as wealthy, if not more, in the world and in the spirit.
Oh, no, but that doesn't work, Dante. You know why that doesn't work? That doesn't work because you know what? All of that, you know, because I'm constantly ministering to young men about their lavish lifestyles, to want to be popular and have money and to have more women and more sex and more booze and dope and everything else.
That's John, that's not what I'm talking about.
So, okay, help me
now,
out.
When I say wealth, I don't mean money.
You mean, what?
I mean eternal peace and happiness.
Oh, well, of course. Well, that's what real wealth is. Because you're
talking about money. Money, again, is a tool. And let me tell you why the young people have an issue. Because young people are not being guided correctly. Okay? They're not being told. They're not being, they're not being given the wisdom to the true measure of wealth. They're thinking that wealth exists from a monetary, physical attribution. In other words, I have as much as I have material. That's wealth. And they don't understand, and they're not trying to understand spirituality and God. Now, let me tell you where most of the responsibility comes from.
I'm thinking about satisfaction.
If I'm young, and my mother is maybe high school educated, maybe a little bit of college, but not the smartest person. She's taking because the system that has been designed, which people always put away and blame it on the individual. It's like they blame the victim for being a victim.
Yes.
Okay? There's no doubt in anybody's mind that there are people that do succeed in life. I was raised by a woman that succeeded in life.
Yes.
I mean, well, I was semi-raised. She was there and then she wasn't there.
Yes.
But she was there because she was trying to make sure that we had a lifestyle.
Yes.
That was feasible, or that we could survive, and I wouldn't be one of those kids that got focused on the wrong thing and stayed focused on it, that I understood what right and wrong was. Mistakes were made, but they were overcome because of the way I was raised. So what's happening is you have these kids that are being raised by these women who have this measure, or men, or both, sometimes it's two, but they have this measure of success as being get a job, make a lot of money, have credit cards, buy a house, buy a car, and that's success.
Wow.
And in that circle, they go to church, but they go to churches that preach the exact same system. They go to churches where the pastor has a $350,000 Bentley, which is a status symbol. In America, a Bentley is considered considered a status symbol. There's no excuse for a pastor to be driving something of that nature, in my opinion.
Of course,
yes. No excuse for a pastor to have a jet. But these people are trying to find guidance in God and escape the world and find out what the true wealth is. And then when they go to church, they're reminded by it constantly by this servant of God, quote unquote servant of God, who is saying prosperity. If you want wealth and if you want happiness, here, tithe with me. Make me more wealthy, and in turn, you will be more wealthy. So these people are doing that, and they're confused because they're not getting knowledge of Scripture. They're getting a passage and expounding on that passage for about 10 or 15 minutes. They're getting an hour and a half, sometimes 45 minutes, sometimes an hour of singing. So they're getting a concert, and they're paying for the concert, and the meat of what they should be getting, that should be lasting an hour. The average lesson should last an hour for it to stick.
Yes, I think so.
They're getting 15 minutes to 20 minutes of a pastor taking a passage out of the Bible and giving his own interpretation of it.
Yes.
And that is why you have these kids who don't have an escape. They don't have anywhere to go to get the true message. And the people that have the true message are being suppressed because, at the end of the day, the people that control the worldly aspect of life deal from a worldly mindset, which means they only focus on currency and wealth
yes.
of the world.
I see.
So if that pastor is bringing in 30,000 people into an arena, they don't have to pay. No, they don't have to buy no tickets. You know why? Because when we start passing around a bucket, 30,000 people putting $10 in a bucket at a time, that's $300,000.
Wow.
At the least.
And
some people write checks for $200, $300, $400, $500. Some people write, and then some pastors even give you a limit or give you numbers to reach for. And then they have this racket. It's like a big game show. And then they have this racket where they have people placed in the church that'll walk up with a check and say, I'm giving up mine. And yeah. It's like a domino effect because they're playing on other people's guilt.
Come on, man. Dante, maybe it's something wrong with me, but when I was a young man, and if I were in something like that, and I saw somebody running a game like that, I would stand up and say, I'm not giving you anything. As a matter of fact, you should give me something. I'm unemployed. I don't have anything. You're driving...
Exactly.
What?
Exactly. Talk to me. I'm sorry to cut you off, Pastor, but you're making great points, and I got to expound on them.
Okay, go ahead.
And let me explain to you, same thing you're talking about is happening, but it's happening from a perspective of, man, these preachers ain't no different from the hustlers and the pimps on the street. Why should I listen to them? So the credibility is gone.
Of course.
So now the message of God is being devalued because this false prophet or this imitation preacher is soliciting his books, his tapes, his 5-10,000 dollar suits, you know, and he's soliciting that stuff to people, and the kids are smart. They got technology. They got more technology than we had. These kids are not as dumb as we think they are.
Yes, they
and they're
do.
Able
yes.
to sit up and see a hustle. And
yes.
if they see it, even if they think it's a hustle.
Yes.
Even if they think it's a hustle.
Yes, yes.
Oh, man. First thing they're gonna Jesus. Do is run from yes. it because they need it. They want an excuse to say that God's word is a bunch of mumbo jumbo.
Dante, we got to...
They see this preacher, and they say, well, dang, all he's doing is doing what this dude do on the street, hustling. You don't hustle and peddle God's word. You just don't do it. So to get back on point, the music is designed to go towards these people who are not getting what they deserve, but to respect them enough as human beings and not turn them away because their credit is not good or because they look like hip-hoppers or because they wear their pants down past their butt. I'm going to tell you something. If I see a child wearing his pants down by his butt, I'm going to try to explain to him the reason why he shouldn't do that. Not
yes.
just turn him away and say, we don't associate with that kind of element.
Yeah, yeah, right. That's right.
And that's what the music does. The music bridges, it builds a bridge. That's why when you premiered the album, which I really thank you for, that was great. We enjoyed that out here. We listened to it, and it was real good. We liked the analysis of the album.
Thank you.
You there were people that were saying, hey, the beats are too hard, the beats are this, the beats are that. Music is a form of communication.
Absolutely.
90% of the people that I'm talking to listen to beats, and you said this in your interview. 90% of the in your analysis. 90% of the people that my music is geared towards to listen to the beat first.
Yes.
Okay. If they're not attracted by the beat, they don't want to hear what you got to say.
Right.
So and you have to communicate with them in this manner to get them to listen to what you're doing. So then they can say, "Oh, wait a minute, that's hot." And then he's even managed to say this and that, and then you quote scripture, you got all the information there, then they get in this critical mode where they say, well, let me question what this dude's doing. And then they go in the book and they find it right there, plain as day.
Right.
But the preachers are not gearing them toward that. That's where the message is being lost, and that's why these kids are so easy to fall for the bait that's being put out there. They're like fish swimming in the ocean waiting for the big worm. Everybody sees these rappers on TV and think that they can have what they have.
All right, and so let's take it to the next level, Dante. Let's take it to the next level then. If these youngsters have been, because I can understand about the beat and the music and everything from time to time, and I do it more often now because sometimes I hang out with young men in their early 20s. And they listen to the music, and when they're in the car with me riding, they switch the radio station, turn on the music, and while I'm just driving in the car and they're riding with me, I'm listening to the lyrics, man, most atrocious stuff that I've ever heard in my life, and a secret coded, hidden messages in it. Most of the parents that have these young teenage kids don't listen to the music. They don't know what these people are doing to the children. Man, the children have memorized this stuff, Dante. They can quote it line by line, and it becomes the way they live. Can we break through? What can we? Because you know what? Back in the early 90s, when rap first came out, and I recall I was on the radio with Dr. Harley Howard, and Harley Howard, a very dear friend of mine, he's still alive, has a church here in Southern California, never cared for the rap music, and it was at that time when Kushak Theory's album came out, and I told Harley, I said, we cannot avoid or escape. This is what these young people are doing. Every generation has their music, their beats, and all of that. I remember it was a negative statement in one of Dr. John MacArthur's commentaries on the bombastic music of the jungle beats of Africa. And that offended me, but I let it go because everybody doesn't want to listen to Shall We Gather at the River. Here's my question. How do you get through with the message if the Christians that are ultimately so conservative will never take time to listen to what you're trying to say? Because there's a lot of Christians out there that will not listen to what you're trying to say or do because of the beats of the music. So what do you do? What do you do about these, I call them rash conservatives?
Well, anybody that considers themselves a Christian and understands the word of God,
yes,
they're not the primary target. The primary target are the ones who don't have any concept of God.
Okay, that's great answer.
As far as these Christians, my whole thing is, ever since I started this thing, or I didn't even start it, Pastor John, to be honest with you, this wasn't something that I just set out to do. And I have to be 100% honest with you. This was something that just happened.
Really?
And the closer I got to God, the more my context started geared towards what God wanted to happen, and it just happened. And when God decides he wants something to happen, it happens.
Yes, sir.
Nobody can stop it.
Right.
No Christian conservative, no media, no hip-hop mogul, nobody. Now, this is something that God has put in place.
Okay.
I know that for a fact.
Yes, sir.
This is something that Dante put together.
Yeah.
Every move I've made has been orchestrated by the power of God.
Yes. Okay.
My question is, God has never been defeated and never will be defeated.
Yeah, okay.
So there's a sense of confidence in me that no matter what anybody says, no matter what any Christian conservative says, no matter what any preacher says, no matter what any newspaper interviewer asks me, no matter what no matter if I get put on their TV show or whatever. If it doesn't happen, it's because God didn't want it to happen that way. And if it happens, it's because God wants it to happen that way.
Wow, that's
it.
That's
when you truly give everything to God. When you start being concerned about people who ain't going to let this happen, or people who are going to stop it, you've already lost. Because you're giving them power.
That's so true. That's so true.
They can come after me all they want to. But God is going to bless me with the energy and the right words to say to get them up off me.
Yeah.
Because God protects him.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Dante. No.
And I got to refer to something when Paul was talking about it.
Okay.
Paul boasts about his sufferings in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 16. You know, let no one take me for a fool. But if you do, then receive me just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting.
Yes,
in
yes.
Self-confident boasting, I am not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I too will boast. You gladly put up with fools since you are so wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you or pushes himself forward or slaps you in the face. To my shame, I admit that we were too weak for that. What anyone else dares to boast about, I'm speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I.
Right.
Are they Abraham's descendants?
Right.
So am I.
Right.
Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. People thought he was crazy.
Yes, they did.
I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea.
I love it.
I've been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger in the sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known
sounds
hunger
like
and
my life.
And often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily oppression of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin? And I do not inwardly burn.
Yeah, man, that's
So if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows not I am not lying. Period. I don't have to, there's nothing that I have to prove to anybody, because my music speaks for itself. People are asking me about what have I done, my criminal history, things like that. I don't have an extensive criminal history. I didn't do 10, 15 years in jail.
Right.
Even if I did, I wouldn't boast about doing 10 or 15 years in jail.
Right.
If that's something that's going to get you to listen to me, then you are a fool, and I'm a fool for telling you that.
Right, right, absolutely. Because that's not the important factor. The important factor is praise and glory to God. It's not Dante. It's not Pastor John. Man, if we can take this star-studded disposition off of what true biblical Christianity is, I think we would be headed in the right track here. You know, and it isn't that we don't want to present, we want to present the right picture of biblical Christianity, not a pretty one, because the verses that you just read, the Apostle Paul was saying, look, I've suffered all of that because I am going to follow exactly what he told me to do. My goodness, my goodness. And so, all right, the music is to reach a group of youngsters that would not traditionally come into the church and listen to this through much. Oh, man, this is great. What kind of, well, let me ask the question. I probably know what the answer is because I know the kind of a man you are. What kind of a welcome have you gotten from the local churches? You know, have any of them asked you to come in and speak to the youth or anything like that?
I just got an offer today to go out to a friend's church. I don't know where, they don't know where they're going to have it, but it's April 22nd.
Okay.
And they said they might have it in their city or they might have it in another city. They're not sure. And I just got an offer today to come out and actually talk, not even do music.
Oh, wow, that is great.
I also got an offer to do a gospel picnic fest. This weekend, I go up to Austin to a music convention to perform at a gospel arena.
Oh, that's great.
You know, well, my thing is, I haven't really launched my album wholeheartedly yet. It just got released. We've been selling copies and been doing a lot of promotions, but again, we're in the beginning stages of the war.
Sure.
And in the beginning stages of the war, you have to prepare properly.
Yes.
You can't go into war not being having every angle covered.
Yes.
And this is part of the preparation, the slow and gradual introduction.
Yes.
Because as it was told to me by my mother, who knows the entertainment industry inside and out, and is still in the entertainment industry over 55 and
yes.
doing her thing. The thing about this industry is you can't hit them and slap them in the face. You have to show the gradual
progression.
Improvement, the gradual
yes. progression.
Advancement.
Yes.
You can't
yes.
just come out and say, boom, I'm here.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because you miss people by that.
I see.
So I would prefer to climb the ladder slowly.
I see.
Instead of trying to jump up to the top.
Yeah.
And my goal is not to get to the top of anything, to be honest with you. My goal is to get to a forum where I can speak to thousands and thousands of individuals who are hungry for some type of salvation.
Yes.
And have been going to the wrong direction. And let me tell you something. This world is changing because God has a hold of it. Because revelation is true. The things that are happening for a reason.
Absolutely.
People are seeking a biblical or spiritual connection and don't even know that that's what they're seeking.
Yes.
You have producers in Hollywood that are trying to ratify their sin and what they've been doing for the past 20 years by putting out these movies that are in direct relation to salvation and redemption.
Yes.
And
yes.
what they have to do is they have to present them as product for that promotes the devil. There's a particular movie that first I was like, there's no way I'm going to see this movie. And the way they promoted it on TV was as if they were just basically saying, praise the devil. But my wife and I went against the grain and rented it on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And we sat up and watched that movie, and it's called Devil.
Wow.
The overall message of that movie was that no matter what the devil does, if you believe in God and you stay strong in your faith, he cannot harm you. And everybody that lost their faith was harmed by him, but the people that did not lose their faith survived. And the thing that kills me is that they have to do it in such a cloaked way to deliver God's message. So what they're doing is they're not putting it out front because they know that if they put it out front, the distributors won't come after them. Nobody will put them out there. Nobody will help them release the movie, no matter who they are. They'll get black flagged in Hollywood.
Yeah.
These are the things that are happening.
Yeah.
Are we worried about getting black flagged? No, because we have this thing called the internet that has been considered by most evil, but in actuality, God would not allow something to happen or be a manifest itself.
Yeah.
Over a period of time, if it could not be used for the ultimate good.
Right.
So
wow.
basically what the internet has isolated the power of what these people who have these negative agendas have to mute you.
Right.
So if you have the tool, which is you gain revenue to use as a tool and recycle it and put it back into your ministry, you can use the internet. So am I worried about people dying in the matter? No. Because the minute I get a form in front of a reasonable amount of people, we just come in, I got three shows set up. The minute
yes.
they hear and take this album and listen to it and get knowledge from it and understand it, they're going to tell someone, and then someone else is going to tell someone, and then that's how God's going to work.
Right. Wow, you know what, Dante? I got about three calls since I've been talking with you, and I know one is from there in Houston, and I'm going to have to call him because he was a pastor that I was speaking to over the internet early this morning, and he wants to get back with me. This is, and Dante, I want you to know that this interview not only will be on my website, but it will also be placed up today on Blog Talk Radio. And so once I place it up on Blog Talk, it's going to be heard all over the country. And I want to, I got, because you know I'm playing another one of your numbers in the background right now. Let me pray for you right now, Dante. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless this brother and to give him the courage and the strength to be the strong man that he is in our faith. And then, Heavenly Father, bless his wife as she walks next to him, as he puts forth the effort to let your light shine, not his, but yours, shine through his music, his talent, and his love for you. And then, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would protect him and keep him safe from all of the fiery darts of the evil one. We ask it all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dante, I love you, my brother. And listen, keep in touch, all right?
Yes, sir. Hey, I didn't mean to talk your head off, Pastor. I'm getting a little fired up.
Did you guys hear that? Did you guys hear what he said? He meant to talk my head off. No, that's all right. I love it. I love it. I'm so glad to have taken this time with you, my brother. God bless, and I will be speaking with you real soon, Dante.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Population, gods and the springs of the things from creation. Appreciate your life and make the best of it.
Carry on.
Confiscate the good and leave the rest of it.
Carry on.
Who are we to question the creator of it all? It's our duties just to answer when the Holy Father calls. Then people saying God ain't nothing but a fifth turner.
Exodus.
The punishment is swift, bumping Robert Destamali on my way to Rowan's place. Sipping one love coffee with a smile on my face. Feeling joy in my soul, goodness in my heart. I'm a warrior for peace, but I'm a soldier from the start. Special forces in the bush, 20 clicks behind the line. Delivering a package to influence mankind. Opposing all the heathens, my gift is something special. When I'm serving my creator and performing as a vessel, I'm a...
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Before I fade out, let me mention again the album, Advice, Mechanism 48, The Bigger Picture. Thank you, Dante. I enjoyed this album.
Gods and the springs of the things from creation. Appreciate your life and make the best of it.
Carry on.
Confiscate the good and leave the rest of it.
Carry on.